Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 2, the Word of God says, He answered and said to them, When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites! You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. You know how to discern that which is natural, but you cannot discern the things that are of God as God is taking place in the world. This is possible to happen to people today as well, that they know how to discern that which is obvious, that which is evident in a natural way, but they cannot discern the spirit behind things. They cannot discern what God is doing. Now, this is talking about also the second coming and the things to come. And I'm not into so much the prophecies. I enjoy them. And I like the book of Revelation. I think it's fascinating. These things I do enjoy. I like reading them. I think they are edifying. But at the same time, I don't make them an emphasis in our church. But I do think that once in a while it is good to visit this topic. Because it is good for us to know what the signs of the times are. And we are told in the Bible that we are to understand and recognize the signs of the times. And the signs of the times, I think, sometimes can be used like, let's be politically outraged, or something like that. Let's say, you know, some negative focus to it. But that's really not the point of understanding the signs of the times. Why is it that a believer wants to understand the signs of the times? So that the believer will know how to adjust in the kingdom for what is going on in the kingdom. The signs of the times are nothing more than what is going on in the kingdom. It is not what is going on the earth. It is possible to be overoccupied with this. It's possible to get a group of believers who are very excited about, hey, it's coming tomorrow. And they get all stirred up in their emotions and panicky almost. It's coming tomorrow. It's not coming tomorrow. You don't know when it's coming, but this is the mentality. It's coming so soon, and we can see things happening, and things are like prophecies are being obviously fulfilled. Things that God said, we can now see them in the world. It's very exciting. But being excited about it isn't really much of a response. Why should I be excited about the fact that things are happening that the Bible said? Why should I be distracted or emotionally charged up about it? I mean, the Bible said it was going to happen. People have known this was going to happen for a long time. Okay, so now it's happening. Excitement in and of itself is not necessarily wrong, but it's not necessarily very productive either. In other words, why be excited? It's not wrong to be stirred up. But why be stirred up? Here's the thing. Stirred up into what? Is really the question. Stirred up into what? I've known throughout the years people who have gotten very stirred up. They talked about the Trilateral Commission and the One World System, and very upsetting and very... And this is really who's running the show, the Trilateral Commission and the One World... Okay. And this means what? This means that the Antichrist is running the whole thing, really, or he's going to. And this means that our president is not really, or our leaders are not really our leaders. They're working for somebody. Okay? And this means what? You see, we have to be very careful when we deal with end times, that we deal with them correctly. They weren't given for us to deal with them in our emotions. They weren't given to make us all emotional about them. Even though that is possible to have happen. They're given for a different reason. And the reason is important. So tonight I would like to talk a little bit about the signs of the times, but in the context of what God gave them. In Luke chapter 21, And verse 34, the Word of God says, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly." Now, carousing is drunkenness and the cares of this life. The carousing and drunkenness are not really what we think of in today's vernacular as carousing and drunkenness. It's really being not sober, not having a sober mind. That doesn't mean that I'm intoxicated. It just means I'm not a sober thought. I'm very given to emotions. I'm given to a lot of hype, or I'm given to whatever elevates my emotions without real sobriety in my life and without gravity in my thinking and understanding through doctrine. And this is what he's referring to as drunkenness. Be careful that you're not so much into your entertainment and your pleasures and your good time, and that you're not so lacking a sober mind, and that you're not so bogged down also with the cares of this life, that that day comes upon you unexpectedly. You are to expect the coming of that day. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. How does a snare come? You don't see it coming. If you know a snare is there, you won't step into it. But the earth will not know that it is coming. We believers see signs of times, but we don't know when it's coming either. Now, I personally believe that it is entirely possible that many people who are alive today will see the rapture. I don't know when that will be. Nobody knows when that will be. Be careful when somebody prophesies a date or claims to have a date, because they do not have a date. We do not know when it will come, but we do know the proximity of the time. In other words, we know that it will be approximately 2,000 years since the Savior was here. He gave us that He will come in about 2 days. And Peter had told us in 3:8, 2 Peter 3:8, what that means, that a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day with the Lord. And so we know that in eschatology, that this is the proximity of the time. That sometime in relatively soon, what relatively means exactly, I don't know. Like I said, I believe that many of those alive today will see it, but I could just as well be in 100 or 200 or 500 or even 1,000 years from now. I don't know. 3 days is close to 2 days. But sometime, relatively soon, it is coming. There are no major prophecies that need to be fulfilled. They have been fulfilled. It is coming. And then he continues here, "For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." You see, this is why we are to understand the signs of the times, so that we may watch and pray and be counted worthy. Worthy of what? Are we going to lose our salvation or gain it by how well we watch the signs of the times? Well, certainly not. But we can be taken very easily captive by the carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life that pertains to our lives in the world, to the world system. I think that that drunkenness and that carousing is becoming very common in this age. In the latter days, people will flock to those who teach certain things because those people have itching ears. And men will be lovers of pleasure, right? Men will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. This is carousing and drunkenness. It is easy for me as a believer to be taken into the snare of these things. So the Savior says, watch and pray, because there is an end time, and the end time is going to be characterized by things like carelessness, lack of sobriety, or the cares of this world. Undue attention to how am I doing financially, when financially I'm fine. How will I be tomorrow, when God takes care of tomorrow? undue attention. I'm not saying that we don't think about these things at all. We go into work, we plan and we save, and you know, we take care of our families and things, certainly. I'm talking about the person who that becomes their portion in this life, whose occupation is what they are occupied with. So we have to watch and pray. In Psalm 90:12, the Word of God says, teach us to number our days. You see, this is why we are to be aware of the signs of the times, so that we will know how to number our days. If we know how to number our days, then we will apply our hearts unto wisdom. Folks, why in this particular time do I want to be aware of the signs of the times? All too often, it's possible for us to be aware of the signs without making the proper kingdom adjustments. I want to be aware of the signs of the times so that I can apply my heart unto wisdom. Let's say that you knew, God forbid that this ever happened to anyone, but let's say that you knew that in 2 years you would go home to be with the Lord. What would you do with those days that you have? Now, a lot of people would say, perhaps I would spend them with my loved ones. I would take a vacation, I would maybe see places that I've always wanted to see, and they'd come up with their bucket list. But is that really wisdom? And certainly you don't want to neglect your loved ones, I'm not saying that. But what is it that you will take into heaven with you? You see, your loved ones, if they are saved, you will spend eternity with them. But consider something. What will you take into eternity with you? Well, you take the Word of God stored in your heart. You take the gold, silver, and precious stones, the things that were faith responses, the things that were of the Word of God, the things that were of the fruit of the Spirit. You take the lost souls that you win to Christ. They're your inheritance. You take the rewards of the cups of cold water. If these are the things that I want to take into eternity with me, the only things I can take into eternity with me, very significant portions of our eternal rewards are based on those things, then what would you do if you knew you had only 2 years to live? I would do those things that would promote the rest of my life for eternity. In other words, 2 years to live is not that I'm going to die in 2 years. 2 years to live is I'm going to move in 2 years. I'm going to go to where I came from, so to speak. I'm going to return home in 2 years. To this point, I'm on the mission field. So if somebody says to you, in 2 years, then that's really what that means. Now, let's say that somehow, and I do not believe, and I'm not trying to predict, so please do not misunderstand. But let's say that somehow, God reveals to you that in 2 years is the rapture. He won't do it. But hypothetically, let's say that He did. It's exactly the same as saying in 2 years you're going home. You have 2 years to live. The effect on your life is exactly the same. So what is it that you want to do in those 2 years? This is why we should identify the signs of the times, so that we can apply our hearts unto wisdom. So that we can use what time we have and invest it in eternal things, not in the temporal. Now, there are some investments of the temporal that we cannot avoid. We have to go to work, perhaps we take care of our families. So we watch the signs of the times for a purpose, so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So what are the signs of the times? What are our signs of the times? Have you ever thought about it? We always think almost in terms of politics sometimes as to signs of the times, and certainly those things are affected, but it's so much more than that. Like, why do we believe that the time is imminent? Why is it not perhaps a long time from now, but why do we believe that it is short time from now? Well, there is reason to believe that. And it's not just anxiety. But there is reason to believe that it will be soon. You see, the Word of God says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, that in the latter days, in the last days, perilous times will come. Consider this. This is a definition for the last days, and it's a definition for the perilous times. These are the dangers of the last days. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous and boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Is this here? Just visit your local high school for a half an hour. Is this here? How many people today are so self-oriented and so proud? I find it amazing, just in the past few years, maybe 2 or 3 years, how rudeness has become increasingly prevalent in our society. How people have no concern about even things like manners, things that are not necessarily even for Christians, but for everybody, and they completely lose control and lose all perspective on this. How a young person will speak with an older person with utter disregard for respect or for courtesy. How the people will demand and they have no regard for the other person. They are proud. These are people who are proud. Just today I had a 15, 16-year-old young woman who was very rude to me. And she should have, if she was smart at all, treated me with respect, but she didn't because of the place that I have in her life. But she didn't. She was very rude. And she was very smart-mouthed. If I was her dad, I would have taken her out back and I would have given her a good talking to, because 15 or not, she is a child who does not know how to behave. You would call her a spoiled brat. We are, and I don't mean this unkindly, I mean it really just as an observation, we are seeing the coming up of the brat generation, where me, 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 gimme, 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 I want to pay nothing, 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 is prevalent in the mentality and an outrage when there is a suggestion to the contrary. If somebody says something, there is defensiveness rather than generosity of spirit. You see, this is a part of the times we're in. People look at young people today, and by that I mean teenagers, by and large in the schools, and they're outraged sometimes, like, what's happening to the teenagers? Talk to some of the teachers in the schools. What's happening to the teenagers? I know in this system, the number one reason for after-school detention is disrespect, by far. Like 2 to 1. Disrespect. And it's become very prevalent. This is one of the signs of the times. We were told that it would be this way. Don't be surprised that it is. It is the end times. Men will be lovers of pleasure. How many people are so entrenched in their pleasure? Their entire lives surround their pleasure. Not just young people, but older people. I mean, I like football as much as the next guy, but you know I would never pay $130 to see a football game. But you've got full stadiums where the cheap ticket is $80 and the expensive ticket is $150, and they got 75,000 people in there every week. Why is that? And people who may not even be able to really pay their bills, and they're shelling out, if they go with their spouse or their kid, they're shelling out a few hundred dollars to see what? Okay, I like football. Honestly, I'm fine with watching it on TV. I appreciate if somebody gives me a ticket. But, you know, I wouldn't spend the money. And that's not a hint. But I wouldn't spend the money, nor would I want anyone else to. Like, why? Why be a lover of pleasure? Like, how many people are so engrossed in their wardrobe? I mean, okay, so I understand, ladies, you need a pair of shoes to go with your outfits, and that's perfectly fine. But do you really need 15 pairs of shoes to go with each outfit? And these shoes will go with these 10 things, and these shoes will go with the same 10 things, and these 25 pairs of shoes here will go with those same 10 things. This is what I call variety. Did you ever consider that maybe this is something wrong? It's not wrong to have the right shoes with your outfit, but 10? Do you really need 10? How many women, and men too, really? I mean, you see young guys on the computer, and they're like, what are they looking at? They're looking at clothes. I saw this one time, these high school kids, they're on the computer, and I'm curious, what are they looking at? And they're looking at clothes. And then they switched to shoes, and they have to have that $200 pair of shoes, or they have to have that $120 iPod, and they gotta have it now. You see, this isn't, we laugh, but really, this isn't normal. This isn't normal. This is the times. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting yourself good clothes. I'm all for that. But understand something, folks. These are signs of the times. Did you really need the $150 iPod? Would it have worked to get the $30 one that holds the same amount? And do you really, honestly, I mean, is it possible to live without that earbud in your ear 95% of the day? Men are lovers of pleasures. This is a sign of the times. They take no regard for God. How many young people are rude to their parents? In Moses' day, if you were rude to your parents, you were to be taken outside of the camp and stoned to death. How many people today regard their parents? How many young people today speak ill of their parents or their families behind their backs? And I'm not talking about this, but I mean, like, honestly, they are hateful to their families behind their backs. Like, they have no regard for who these people are in their life. They're disobedient to their parents. Why is this? Mom and dad say no, and they sneak out and do it anyway. Mom and dad say, hey, don't do that while you're in school, and they do it anyway. How many young people, young ladies do this? They dress all nice and pleasant leaving the house, and they take half their clothes off just as soon as they get to school, so they can be immodest. They're disobedient to their parents. This is not so casual. This is not just a teen thing. This is not just a teenage rebellion. This is a sign of the times. This is a sign of perilous times, dangerous times. And they are here, and they are among, and they are unthankful. Have you ever given somebody something and they just take it and walk away? There's a lack of gratitude we have today. We think somebody owes us, but there's a lack of gratitude. In that lack of gratitude, there is also a lack of holiness. What is a lack of holiness? Sanctification. They're not set apart unto God. But instead, there's this self-orientation, unkind mentalities. I've never seen so many angry young people. You know where anger comes from? Self-orientation. The person who is angry is someone who is self-oriented. You see, there's no holiness. It's a sign of the times. Now, it's possible to be outraged and negative about these things, and it's just, how can this be? Well, it's very simple. There is a Satan, there is a flesh, and Satan is angry because he knows that his time is short. And so he's working harder than ever, more experienced than ever, more strategic than ever, because he knows the time is short. You see, he knows how to read the signs of the times also. What does that mean to us? That we apply our hearts unto wisdom. That we do not enter into these things, but instead we enter all the more into the mind of God. All the more, for example, gathering together much more as we see the day approaching. This is applying our hearts unto wisdom. All the more staying built up in the Word of God, because this is applying our hearts to wisdom. All the more soul winning, because this is applying our hearts unto wisdom. All the more faithfulness, because this is applying our hearts unto wisdom. You see, we don't live in the world that they lived in 200, 300, 400 years ago, 20, 30, 40 years ago. It's a different world now. And it's not because of the technology. It's because of the mentality. There's a signs of the times. The Word of God says in verse 5 of 2 Timothy 3, that these people, he's talking about believers, by the way. This is not the unsaved crowd, this is the saved crowd. It says they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. From such turn away. There's a form of Christianity, but it has no power. Turn away from it. This is why I've always said, and I'm surprised how often this is violated, that a quick dirty acid test for an organization or a church or whatever that is supposed to be of God is, what do they do with Genesis 1 and what do they do with soul winning? Do they believe that God created the world in 6 days? Or do they try to mix it in and accept things from here and there and try to explain away why it's not like God really said it was? It's maybe different than God said it was, and we can't really trust that. If you can explain away Genesis 1 and say it's not true, then you can explain away the entire Bible and say it's not true. It's called an unbeliever. The other thing that is very quick and easy, kind of a dirty acid test, is, do they soul win on purpose? You see, the one is obedience, the other is God's heart. The one is believing God, the other is trusting Him. The one is knowing what He said was true, the other is believing to do what He told you to do. You see, if there is no belief of Genesis 1, and there is no soul winning, and usually it's both or neither, then it's not of God. There's a form of godliness but denies the power of it. It's not of God. Pastor Shibeli said this good statement one time. He said, why would God speak to a man who won't obey Him? And who won't believe Him? Why would God speak to a man like that? You see, these are signs of the times. When over 50% of the major 5 denominations, over 50% of the churches, of the pastors, don't believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, why would they even bother soul winning? That means that 50%, more than 50%, have now become social clubs. rather than churches. These are signs of the times. Folks, be aware of the signs of the times. We're not immune to these things. I don't think anybody possesses all these traits, but many possess some. We're not immune to any of them. We need to watch and pray and apply our hearts unto wisdom. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 36, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only." There goes the predictions. I never could figure out how these people can get on TV, make a prediction, and when it doesn't come out, say, get on TV and say, "I was mistaken." But some of them either ignore it, and some of them actually make another one. Like, where does that come from? It's not scriptural. And that's not to attack those persons. Think, guys. God said nobody knows the time, but we are to know the signs of the times. Because we are to identify the proximity, though no one knows the day. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. They went about their business. But there is something else about the days of Noah in Genesis chapter 6. If you look at the original language there, it says that the world was sanctified unto violence and cruelty. Do we find violence and cruelty today? Do we find people who love and are compassionate? Or is there a prevailing trend of unkindness? Of, "I'm going to grab what I can and I don't care what it means about you." You see, it's here today. These are the signs of the times. Like that one man, he was a comedian in New Orleans. And somebody, I think, had shot him. And he was dying in the street and people saw it. And they took their cell phones to take pictures of him. But nobody called the ambulance. These are signs of the times. This thrill a minute. This McDonald's mentality, quick and easy or it's not worth it. These are signs of the times. I'm not here to criticize the times. I'm here to say, hey, recognize the signs so that you can apply your heart unto wisdom. Recognize the times. In Matthew 25, the Word of God says in verse 1, "The kingdom of heaven will be likened unto 10 virgins. Now, they were 10 virgins. All 10 were believers. And all 10 were of the kingdom of heaven. So I have to understand here, this is not talking believer versus unbeliever. But it's going to be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. So all of them took their lamps and all of them went forth to meet a bridegroom. They were all his bride. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." What does that mean? That they that were foolish didn't live in the Spirit of God. They didn't manifest the anointing that they had. They didn't live in a call or in the will of God. They weren't interested in God's ways. They were interested in their ways. Then they were not awake. They were not sober. When the bridegroom came, they said, "You give us of yours." And the others said, "No, we don't have enough." What does that mean? It means that I cannot share my anointing. I cannot share my rewards. I cannot do that. Even if I desire to, I will not be able to give another person that which the Holy Spirit, that which the Savior has given me at the Bema seat. I cannot give to another one. The glory that a person may receive as part of their rewards cannot be shared with another person. There are some who apply their hearts unto wisdom and some who do not. Both are of the kingdom. Make sure that you apply your hearts unto wisdom, especially knowing the signs of the times, so that that drunken, non-sober mentality, that carousing mentality, or that detail of life mentality not overtake you. So that you keep your focus in your vision, so that you walk in the wills of God, so that the plan of God is primary in your life, so that you say to God, "Your will, not mine, be done," so that if there is a call, you cannot be turned to the left or the right, so that you do not seek after your own, but seek after that which is God's. You want to be one of those with the oil, not one of those without. In Matthew 24, in verse 6, it says, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled." Don't let this bother you. How many people see these things and they let it bother them? They get very excited. I received an invitation from some organization. I don't even know who they were. But it's to this end times conference, and the material was very geared towards the emotions, and it was very hyped. And it's just like, why are you hyping the obvious? Jesus is coming! Yes, He is. Yes, He is. There He is, right over there, right around the corner. Sure enough, that's Him. Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. How many souls have you won lately? Yeah, I can become very hyped up, but not apply my heart unto wisdom. And I don't say that out of a works trip. How many souls have you, like, you know, won lately? But he that wins souls is wise. Have you applied your heart into wisdom in all your stirred up excitement? Now, there is a component of that that can stir us up and get us excited, and that's fine. But don't stop applying your heart unto wisdom. Don't lose the fruit of the Spirit because you see something happening that the Bible said would happen. Like, let the fruit of the Spirit in you increase. Draw near to God at those times. You see, these are, in fact, the signs of the times. There is a lack of sobriety that is of a religious form also. I don't want to enter into that either. I heard a song the other day. It grieved the Spirit because it criticized. I found that astonishing. A Christian song criticizing believers, saying, "Your life is not like my life." Essentially, that's what it was saying. Your life is not like my life. And these are all the things you do wrong. I couldn't believe I heard somebody singing that. And I like the singer. But I couldn't believe I heard this song. That somebody would actually write a song like this. It amazed me. As I heard it, my heart was genuinely grieved. The Spirit was genuinely grieved. That's not the fruit of the Spirit, being able to point out your errors. The fruit of the Spirit is being able to identify what other people are doing is wrong. Is that what it says? My Bible says in Galatians 5 that the fruit of the Spirit is love, in verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, which is patient and kind. You may be able to identify that you're doing something somebody else is not. But were you patient and kind in that? Do you know what somebody's reason is? Why do people do what they do? Do you know what their reason is? You see, if I simply judge you on the outward appearance of what you are doing, I'm not walking in wisdom, I'm walking in judgment. And God said not to do that. Isn't that true in Luke chapter 6? Judge not and you will not be judged. You see, God said don't do that. But that too is a sign of the times, where the love of many waxes cold, where knowledge takes over the character of God. This is something, there's two spirits of this age. We know of the Laodicean one, but there is the Ephesian. And it hasn't gone away. Where I have knowledge, and therefore I don't need love. I have knowledge, therefore I can tell you where you don't. But that's not the fruit of the Spirit. I'd rather apply my heart unto wisdom. Wisdom is promoted by the fruit of the Spirit. If I don't have love, then I can have all knowledge and it will be meaningless. In 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3, I can preach, I can be like the best preacher in the world, but if I don't have the character of God, if I don't have the fruit of the Spirit, it's nothing more than noise. I can have faith like nobody else on the planet has faith. But if I don't have the fruit of the Spirit, my faith is useless and it's empty. As you see the signs of the times, apply your hearts unto wisdom. Get to know the character of God like never before. Don't abandon it because of what you see or what you think you see. Because of what you have or what you think you have. Don't abandon the character of God. Draw near to it. This is the response we are to have for the signs of the times. We draw near. We don't draw far. We draw near. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. These are the beginnings of sorrows. We are living, folks, in the beginnings of sorrows. I looked it up today. There are 82 wars in the world today. 82 wars. What are there, like 250 countries or something in that ballpark? And 82 wars. That means, I don't know if they're all within, like more than one within a country. I don't know. But do you realize that means that one third of the planet is at war? One third of the nations are warring. Didn't Jesus say that there would be wars and rumors of wars in the beginning of sorrows? That there would be famine and disease? How many people in the world are hungry? How many disasters leave people without homes and without water even? Like how many millions were there in Haiti or perhaps in Indonesia after that tsunami? How many people are starving in certain places of the world? We have had more earthquakes in the past few years than all of the recorded history combined. These are the signs of the times. It's here. It's here. We are in the beginning of sorrows. We are in that period that immediately precedes the rapture. It is here. And by the way, let's turn there just for a moment. I want to clarify something here because somehow people get tripped up on these sometimes. In verse 8 of Matthew 24, we are prior to that given all these things. And in verse 8 it says, all these things are the beginning of sorrow. So the things that came before, the wars and the rumors of wars and the famines and the pestilence and all these things, these are signs of the beginning of sorrows. But then in verse 9 it says, Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. This is no longer beginning of sorrows. This is now the tribulation. And so you have the beginning of sorrows where we are now, and then the next step is the tribulation after the rapture. So between verse 8 and verse 9 is the rapture. And in verse 9, now those people who get saved in the tribulation period, they will be afflicted and people will kill them because of their faith. But that is not the signs of this time. That is a sign of the time that is coming. But it is not a sign of this time. Now, I believe that this time will not be here much longer. But I don't know. But when this time is up, the beginning of sorrows is up. That's the rapture, folks. Then comes things like the marriage supper of the bride and the bema seat. That's the rapture. That's where we meet Christ in the clouds. That's where we become the bride. That's where we get our rewards. In Revelation 13:17, the Word of God says that there will be a mark of a beast. And this again is after the rapture. This is not before the rapture. This is the after. But to show the proximity of the time, the Word of God says that you will not be able to buy or sell without the mark. Well, the mark is what? And then verse 18 says, here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of man, and his number is 666. 666. This is that thing that they put on the hand and the forehead. Folks, the signs of the times are here. The mark of the beast is present. In Poland, it's now legally required. There's places in the world like Mexico where they are using it voluntarily, but semi-voluntarily. The prosecutors are required to have it with a GPS function, this little computer chip, so that the police could quickly find them should they be kidnapped by the drug lords. There's a company out there that's actually manufacturing this. A couple of weeks ago, I read that there is a new type of a chip that has all this information, where your entire information, and it's no thicker than the strand of a hair. And it is self-adhering. And you lay it on the skin of the hand or the forehead, and it disappears. You can barely make out that it's even there. You can't see it. And it doesn't fall off. It's self-adhering. They don't even have to cut you to insert it. They just lay it on your skin and there it is. And it doesn't go away and it has all your information on it. You see, it's already here. I like what Andrew said. In the Hebrew, the number 6 is the same as the letter W. So what is it that we are actually looking for? A number or a letter? Are we looking for 6, 6, and 6? Or are we looking for www dot? What is it that we are looking for? The signs of the times. Folks, the times are here and the signs are there also. The signs are here also. Apply your hearts unto wisdom. Not so that we can get hyped up and energized and all emotional about it, but so we can draw near to Him. So that if it does come in 2 years, God only knows, I don't, but if it happens to come in 2 years, that we're ready for a move. And that we reach out to a lost and dying world. And that we preach the gospel and we take God seriously and we don't play tiddlywinks in the sandbox. But that we mean business with God. That we say, hey God, your will, and it's like no more time for games. Your will, God, not mine, be done. And even if it doesn't come for another hundreds of years, you know what? Who guaranteed you those 2 years anyway? How do you know you'll be here tomorrow or next week or in 2 years? You don't know that. There are some who won't be. Hopefully, by the grace of God, everybody here will still be here. But you don't know that either. Apply your hearts unto wisdom. The signs of the times are here. You see, now it is more evident than ever before that the time is, in fact, short. How short, I don't know. It's time to look for the will of God, for the ways of God. I didn't say it's time to strive or get religious. Applying your heart unto wisdom comes from the heart. Right? Comes the heart unto wisdom. Wisdom is, I draw near to God. Wisdom is found in His Word, in winning the lost, in having His heart and His value system, in having His perspective, in a yielded life that says, God, I want Your will in my life, and that's all that I want. But I might not get something that I want. You know what? You might not have the time to get it anyway. Who promised you you'd ever get it at all? Who promised you you'd even be here that long? I knew a guy in Bible college named Rocco. He was a friend of mine. Went to school with him. Graduated together. I went off to the mission field, and Rocco, I heard through a letter I had received, was feeling ill one day. He was 24 years old. He was feeling ill one day. Went to see the doctor, and in the doctor's office he died of a massive heart attack at 24 years of age. Rocco was a godly man. God wanted him anyway. Apply your heart unto wisdom. The signs of the times are here to wake you up that wisdom is necessary. That we cannot afford a lack of sobriety. In Revelation 13:1, the Word of God says, I stood upon the sand of the sea. This is John talking in his vision of what will be, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. And the sea is talking about the multitudes of people, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. What are the 7 horns? These are geographical places. I was looking that up. What are the 7 regions? And I'm finding a lot of Christian prophecy stuff. And I'm surprised sometimes how many people think this is Europe. Europe is not the world. It's a world system. It's not a European system. It's a world system. The entire world will follow the Antichrist. Not just the Europeans, them too. But the entire world will follow the Antichrist. Do you know that today there are 10 primary regions in the world? There are. There are 10 geographic regions that in many respects are united already. Heard the other day somebody talking about the African Union, just like the European Union. There are 10 places. You want to know what they are? North America, South and Central America, the European Union, the Middle East, which includes the Arab nations, Japan, Africa, China, India, the area that was the USSR, and Oceania. Oceania is Australia and the island nations. There's 10 geographic regions that the world is divided into. Folks, it's already here, and that's a sign of a future time. That's not a beginning of sorrow's time. That is tribulation time. But it's already here. Understand the signs of the times, so that you may apply your heart unto wisdom. As in Mark 13:32, the Word of God says, "But of that day and that hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is." It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore. This is the Savior talking. Watch therefore. For you do not know when the master of the house is coming. In the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Watch. Watch the signs of the times. Not to get stirred up in your emotions, but so you may live in wisdom. Because folks, you're moving soon. And if it is not you moving through the rapture, then it's you moving through the natural lifetime. And the days that God has given you will be up someday. Hopefully that won't be too soon. But you know what? I don't think any of us will be here in 100 years. Watch. Apply your heart unto wisdom. Pray. Don't lose sight of the kingdom of God for the sake of your pleasures or your circumstances or your details. Watch and pray, because the days are in fact evil. But there is one in us that is greater than the one in the world, and He desires to save as many of the lost and dying world as He can. He desires for people to get to know Him like never before. You see, just because it's the signs of the times are here, it doesn't mean that the Savior has stopped working. It doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is not on earth. He is on earth, and He desires more than ever that people know Him. But a church sometimes is falling asleep, sometimes becomes very self-occupied, sometimes leaves wisdom behind. You see, there were 10 virgins, but only 5 were wise. Which ones are we going to be? The wise ones or the others? There is a way to be the wise ones. You apply your heart unto wisdom in all things in your life, taking no thought for your own life, because when you do that, you lose that life. But taking thought for the life of God, so that you can gain a life you could not have had on your own. That's applying your heart unto wisdom. Living in the fruit of the Spirit, not in the fruit of self. Not wisdom from below, but wisdom from above. That's applying your heart unto wisdom. Taking God's Word and running with it, and being serious about it, and not letting it go, not having it be a part of your life, but having it be your entire life. That's applying your heart unto wisdom. See, we can't afford anymore. The world has changed. It's evil now. Much more so than it has ever been before. So we really do need to draw near to Him and have wisdom reigning in our lives. Amen.